Explorations in Self-Help. My name is John Copps, your host for this program investigating different areas of self-help and self-awareness. Today's guest is Carol Sims, author of The Reentry Game, a book that's an absolute necessity for a woman recently divorced. Carol, let me ask you, what motivated you to write this book?
A little bit of anger about the fact that I was in a complicated situation with anxiety, with fear. I was afraid, yet I was excited because I was starting a new life. Talking to a lot of other divorced women and finding out that my situation was not unique. It was really very common, and wanting to help women get through a very difficult period of time.
Well, that's interesting. Just to explain a little more to our listeners, Carol, of course, was married for 7 years and has been divorced now for a good number of years, so she had to learn the hard way about what went into this book. Carol, what do you believe are the causes of a couple divorcing? I know there's a multitude of them, but perhaps we can take a look at a few of the major causes.
I think sociologists today and psychologists would say that sex and money are what cause problems in marriages today. I also think that there's a third factor that come out as arguments in sex or arguments about money, and that is the woman's desire and her notion of herself is changing. Women's live is having an effect everywhere, that they are people and they are looking at their existence and they're wanting to make changes, and they've set up a certain routine with their husband and very often find it difficult to break out of that routine, perhaps to go back to work.
That is interesting, because I know, well, perhaps as recently as 10 years ago, that wasn't the case.
No, this is a phenomenon of the 70s, and that's why so many women today are getting divorced that were told in the 50s that the marriage was forever, that they should listen to their husband, to love, honor, and obey, a very interesting word, obey. And then this, and today it's being eliminated from many of the ceremonies because it's love, honor, and share. So if you got married under the love, honor, obey, and all of a sudden you're really wanting to share, you're kind of changing the rules of the game. And I think it is coming from the women that wanting to change the setup of the marriage.
Well, of course, as two psychologists once put it, the woman throughout the centuries has been blamed for much of the world's demise and warfare. Because after all, you know, it was Eve that tempted Adam with the apple.
Then you're saying is the aggressive woman, right? While she was there not tempting, it was okay. Yeah. Well, I don't think it'll be the demise. I think women today are contributing a lot more than men are. If you really want to get on that tact, as far as thinking about who they are, thinking about what they can contribute, more women go into therapy than men do. That's a fact. Because they want to know more about themselves. They want to reach the maximum capacity that they have to live and maximum contentment.
Well, when you think about it, of course, this new movement has alleviated much of the pressure on a man to prove his masculinity, also looking at it from the positive angle.
Well, some men say that. You must be very secure, because a lot of men are complaining that women are becoming so aggressive that they're frightened about it, and they move away from the woman who's independent, who states her desires, who has a life cut out for herself. It should really lead to male liberation. Mm-hmm. No longer does the male have the burden of the total responsibility, of financial responsibility of the family.
Well, I will add, and then we'll go on with different aspects of this interview, that there was a survey done recently that shows that male impotency has risen drastically ever since the advent of women's lib.
A lot of people would say that because they have become frightened of women, but I don't know, maybe they're just being more honest about it today.
Okay, back to the divorced woman. What are the common differences in attitude between a single woman and a divorced woman when it comes to sex?
Well, the old-fashioned notion, which has not been eliminated, is that the divorced woman should have a lot of experience and therefore should be willing to go to bed with anybody that comes along the way, and that she was, quote, used to getting it regularly. I've had men say that to me immediately after my divorce. They don't say it now, it's been 5 years, but right then and there, when they were on the make, quote unquote, you know, here you are, used to getting it, supposing that I was. I found that when I was divorced at 30 years old, I had much less experience than single women who had never been married and were 30 years old, my friends who had never married. They knew the good man from the bad man, generally. They could spot a line a mile away. A married woman who then becomes divorced is really a babe in the woods. Everyone supposes she's experienced. She's not. She's an innocent.
almost like a virginity.
Exactly. Exactly.
A divorced woman seems to encounter difficulties from friends and relatives after divorce. What are some of the pressures she may expect to face in this area?
Well, friends and relatives in your best interest as a divorced woman will give you conflicting advice. Your parents, who will psychologically put you into virginhood and not want to know what's going on anymore, right? They have difficulty dealing that. Friends often will take it as an opportunity, misguided opportunity to become very, if they give you advice, they become very revealing of themselves. So married women that I knew when I was divorced who were unhappy about their divorce started to criticize me about having frequent sexual activity. They thought, you know, I'm sure you know what you're doing. Aren't you being a little promiscuous? Well, I wasn't. It was just, you know, two or three different men in two or three different months. But this appalled her. But I think she was just jealous. So her advice was self-serving.
Well, of course, that is a double standard, too, because it's historically been okay for the man to deviate every once in a while or go out with several different women at once. But with a woman, it's a different story.
Much different. I have a male cousin who's about 5 years older than I am, and when he was divorced, the first divorce in our family, everybody said, terrific. Now he can get out there, he can do what he wants, he can play around, he got married too early. For him, that was a terrific thing. For me, when I got divorced, I was a failure. There was tremendous pressure on me and my family. I failed. My male cousin didn't. He just wised up, right? I failed. So there is this pressure. Two different standards.
How can a woman counter some of the embarrassing questions and attitudes inflicted upon her by her friends and relatives?
She has to have a very tough skin, and she has to, first of all, she has to protect herself. It's a very dangerous time because she really wants to confide in people, but often that confidence will come back at her in a very cruel way. People will become very upset when you divorce. You're throwing off a balance. That they're very, whether it's married or single. Single friends that I had, I threw off a balance with them because I found that I was dating more than they were because I had stored up in 7 years of marriage a lot of men who I wasn't interested in on a sexual basis or a dating basis, so all of a sudden I became available and I would try it out, which, you know, helped me regain my sexuality, which had been eroded the last 6 months of my marriage. That's part of the book. I find that no matter what the circumstances are, whether you break up the marriage or the man breaks up the marriage or it's by mutual consent, there's a whole dance of separation of should I or shouldn't I and arguments, and that just kind of erodes your sexuality. So when you're finally divorced, you wonder whether you're really a woman, whether you can, you know, you just have no, sexuality being the sum total of the good feelings about yourself.
Right. Well, in other words, society does still seem to point a guilty finger at a divorced woman regarding her sexual life.
Yes,
that's
they do.
Basically what you're saying.
Yes, they do. The big D on your chest, divorced. You know, you have to be very careful.
Do you think these attitudes will disappear shortly?
Yes, they're going to have to by necessity. The statistics on divorce are going up and up and up, and particularly in big cities. And California has the most incredible statistics the entire union.
I believe it's 4.2 couples per thousand.
It is. It's that high.
And in Oregon and Washington, it's even worse, from what I understand.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. What part has women's lib played in changing society's attitudes? Let's get to some of the basics of that. We've already mentioned a few. And another question I would like to ask you along that line, have there been any negative effects from women's lib?
I'll answer the. I think that the women's liberation movement has done good and it's done bad. I am not a card-carrying member of any women's liberation group, and I think many of the factions would disagree with my notion that you can regain your sexuality, and which is very important to regaining yourself via men. So there's a whole section that's very much against this book, but I think those are the facts of life. The bad notion of women's lib today is that it's giving women ideas, really putting ideas in their head that they should be out there in the business world, and maybe that's not what they're cut out for. And I see women breaking up marriages with this notion of going for their career. They really haven't thought it through.
Mm-hmm.
They really haven't figured out how or adjusted to it. They just become very abrupt. The good parts of it are women quietly and consistently are beginning to become people, and that's the good part.
Well, I imagine that every movement, you can apply this to music too, along with women's lib, it starts out at the radical point. In other words, as far as it can go, and then it always comes down with every radical movement.
Right, there has to be a balance.
A medium point.
Right.
So, in a sense, these movements have to start off radically in order for the effect to be good.
They have to be heard, so they have
right.
to take outrageous stands.
Now, should a woman avoid talking about relationships to her ex-husband once she's entered this new singles world?
Absolutely. No matter what he tells you about his new girlfriend or his new sexual activity, the temptation to tell him that you are also participating in this new world should be squelched, because a husband is a very strange phenomena and an ex-husband is even stranger. You're always considered his property. And if there's an argument, especially if there's children involved, where the custody of the laws today still are very backwards, an unfit mother is also a fulfilled woman if she is dating, if she is sleeping with a man. In some courts today, which are dominated by men, the man could there get custody of the child. So she has to be very careful to protect her rights. If there's no children, it's none of his business anymore.
Do you believe a woman should avoid sexual relationships with the ex-husband, or sexual relations with the ex-husband, I should
say? That's a curious question, and I think that it's an individual thing. What I would like to say is if a woman has sex with her ex-husband, she shouldn't feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
And some women do. She shouldn't take it necessarily as a reason for her to go back and have the marriage. I find that most women do. For one reason or another, during the separating period or after the divorce, if they have the opportunity. But it's not a necessity. It just shouldn't have guilt.
Now, in the area of remarriages, what are your attitudes about that? Do you think they work generally, or are they usually as disastrous as the first go-around was?
It depends on the woman and the time that she makes use between the first marriage and the second marriage. And that's part of this book. The second marriage, if it's within the first 6 months of the first marriage, she's not going to have learned anything. Chances
mm-hmm.
are, and statistically it shows, she's going to go right into the same kind of relationship, find the same kind of man that she was in. She won't have learned anything. There has to be a certain amount of time to mourn your marriage before you become a person to learn about yourself. It's a great time. It's a terribly complicated time. But used properly, you can learn something about yourself. And if you do, then your second marriage will probably work.
Well, I would suggest any of our listeners that read The Reentry Game, keep that in mind. While it may be considered promiscuous from one standpoint, it really has a lot of good common sense in it in regards to informing a woman how to find out about herself before she does become involved in a permanent commitment. Now, actually, what I meant to ask you with that last question, and I'll get to that point now, I'm glad you answered the way you did. Remarriages with a husband, with the ex-husband.
Rare. It's done. I think it's going to fail. Or the same, whatever is bad is going to continue to be bad, and whatever is good is going to be good, and they're locking their neuroses together, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really see that very happy.
Carol, how does divorce affect relationships with males already in a woman's life, such as co-workers, husbands, best friends, and various other males that seem to come into the picture at the time?
Well, I found, and also talking to a number of other women, that the males in your life, the doctor, your co-workers, your boss, a certain percentage of them are going to be predators, and they will see mm-hmm. you as vulnerable. They will offer their hand to hold. They will listen to your problems, and they will try to advise you. But really, their notion is they're really trying to get you into the bedroom. You have to be very cautious. You're alone. You have to protect yourself. If you're working, no sex in the office. Your job is the most important, economically and for you as a person.
Well, it too, I think that men have a tendency to gossip about who they were with the last night. And of course, if a woman goes with a man in the office, she can be pretty, she can be pretty rest assured that it will get around.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the single woman would understand this. A divorced woman, immediately divorced woman, may not comprehend this because she's so eager to have that listener or that helping hand that her priorities will get mixed up.
In a sense, divorce enforces the woman to form a battle plan of reentering into the single life. How does she go about this?
The first thing she has to do is, if she's not working, she ought to get a job. She ought mm-hmm. to have a structure, even if she has children. And she probably would have to get a job to support the family, even if the husband is helping. But she has to make sure that in certain areas she's number one. And I found that I did it, and a number of other women did it. They redecorated their bedroom. I know that sounds ridiculous, and it doesn't matter what economic strata you are. You can always change the bedspread. You can get the kids involved in a project of redoing Mama's bedroom, and then it becomes her room. She doesn't have to share it with anybody. Super luxury.
There's five positive steps that you had in the book.
That's one of them.
That's
number
one.
Change your surroundings
right.
if you can. Some women are forced to move into other apartments or other houses. If they can't do that, then they really ought to make a room for themselves. They ought to be positive about their being alone rather than sitting in the same bedroom that they had with their husband, the bathroom, and so on. And make a room for themselves, a work room. I also have this strange notion, when you get married, generally, you have to have a medical examination. And I think that in order to get yourself together at this period of divorce, you ought to go get a complete medical exam. You ought to find out what your body is doing and where you're at. And many women neglect themselves. I think you ought to get a clean bill of health. I think that in this time, they maybe need vitamins to get them. I know one woman who was recently divorced and she just stopped eating. I mean, she was dragging herself to work. She couldn't sleep at night. She really needed a doctor to help her through this difficult period of time. I think she ought to go to a gynecologist and get a complete checkup and understand all the notions of birth control because she's in a new world. The same birth control habit that she has for marriage may not be the best one for her psychologically and physically. In a more, with you know, more people around her, more men.
In another sense, I would like to bring this up. Women's Lib has helped tremendously in this area because female problems, as far as professional medicine was concerned, was probably one of the most neglected areas up until a few years ago. They've just recently been studying them in detail and finding out new ways of treating problems that were common to women.
They have, and they've become more humane. I mean, as they, women have been treated rather casually by the traditional male gynecologists. Now there's a lot of women gynecologists, mm-hmm. and there's also male gynecologists who have some notion that to take the whole woman, to treat the whole woman rather than just one area. Where is her head at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is her thinking? They're getting better, right? And they're being forced to reevaluate women's problems. There's room to reevaluate men's problems.
Carol, naturally, establishing a sexual relationship for the first time after marriage must be a difficult move for a woman. What are some of the things a woman should regard and disregard in getting back into the swing of things?
She ought to one of the big complaints that women have when they're getting back into the sexual world is that they're not receiving satisfaction. A lot of women complain that they cannot achieve orgasm, and they feel they're a failure. They've had it. You know, never again will they have any enjoyment in sex, and it becomes more of a chore. One thing to remember desperately is while you're so busy learning the feel of a new man, I mean, you've been married to the same man 5 years, 10 years, just the skin touch, his form, body touch. I mean, you go into bed with another man, and the touch is different. That can throw you way off. Having an orgasm briefly is losing control, and there's so many factors going on in losing control. Guilt that you're not with your husband, fairly common, even though you're divorced. If there's children in the next room, if you're worried about, if you're at his place and you're worried about getting home, a lot of things can happen to interfere with all the circuits that are working to give you satisfaction. And the thing to remember is just keep at it, and eventually you'll get back into stride again. And not to feel guilty that there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that is the most common fear.
That yes, it is, that you're a failure, that you are a failure. And often, whatever the reason that there is a divorce, it usually gets translated into sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think most women would agree that then arguments start, and then there's a lot of complaints in the bedroom from the husband. Either you want it too much, or you don't want it enough, or you don't like this, or you don't like that. And a lot, it's used. The bedroom is used to do a lot of, to express a lot of dissatisfaction. And if a woman walks away from her marriage, you know, even if the husband put the seed of possibility that she might be, quote, no good in bed, she's going to carry that with her until she has enough experience to find out otherwise.
Have you found that after a woman is divorced to her husband, especially if the marriage was somewhat bitter or really a poor marriage, you find that she often tries to get even with men she goes with later?
I think she will maybe not get even with them, but she'll be a little, she'll use them, let's put that. She will use them.
Mm-hmm.
But women aren't as good as using men as men are.
We'll get into that in a short time. In talking with two women psychologists recently, they stated that many women are programmed to think that aggressiveness in establishing a relationship is a man's responsibility. How do you feel about this?
Aggressiveness has such a negative sound. It sounds like aggressive equals non-feminine. Aggressive equals non-woman. I think that more and more, and a lot of books of self-revealing books are being written, and aggressive should not be a dirty word for a woman. But it is. So that you have to think in terms of eliminate the word aggressive, eliminate the word passive being the traditional role, and say, if a woman knows what she wants, should she ask for it? And I say yes. If that's being aggressive, it shouldn't be aggressive, but a lot of men take it as being aggressive. Just
well,
asking
I think
for what she wants.
It ties into openness, which is important, couples being able to communicate with each other. And as you brought out in the book, when this communication is established, if the woman desires to remarry in the future, it would make for a better marriage.
Exactly, because she knows who she is. She's asked for certain things, accepted some, negated others, and she finds out who she is.
Carol, you devoted a portion of your book to the problems of a divorced woman with children. Problems in this area must be extremely difficult. How can she handle this situation?
That's a very sweeping question. Women with children who are divorced have a very difficult problem. They just the logistics of going out, getting a babysitter. So each individual woman has to treat it in her own way. The fact that she has children should not keep her from being a fulfilled woman. She has to learn how to if she, one of the big problems I see is women who are afraid to get into the sexual world will hide behind their children. Mm-hmm. How can I do it? It'll be bad for the children. A lot of society pressure even today that an unfit mother is one who is a sexually fulfilled woman. It can be handled if it can be handled with intelligence and a sense of humor. With so many divorces today, there are a lot of men with children, which I find many divorced women with children finding creating a second family from, you know, two splintered families.
Mm-hmm.
I see them seeking that out, and everybody, it works out very well. That's one of the big easier solutions. How does okay?
Oh, I'll go on to ask at this point. One particular area I would like to cover is sexual relationships with a boyfriend or man friend when she has children at home. How should she handle this?
Yeah, I was just, that's what I was, mm-hmm. it's okay, I was just about to say that. It shouldn't be abrupt. It can be handled at home without any detrimental effect to the children if the man is a part of the grouping, if he comes to dinner, if he spends a lot of time with the children. And the children get to know him. I mean, he just isn't. It is more difficult for a woman with children. But if the man becomes a part of the grouping, then it isn't such a shock. The children go to bed, and perhaps he stays overnight, and they see him in the morning.
Openness with the children is an important factor too, I believe. Not programming negative ideas about sex into their head when they're very small.
Exactly. Not making it something that you have to sneak around and do.
Carol, we only have 3 minutes left, and one question that I would like to cover, there's actually a couple in this area that I would like to ask you about, are the professional divorce women molesters. What are the complications for a woman going into this type of relationship, and how can this type of man be recognized?
That's one of the big problems. It's very hard to recognize him. There are certain men who will go to a vulnerable woman because they think less of themselves. A divorced woman is a vulnerable woman. They hone in on her. It's unbelievable. They have tremendous radar. You have to be careful. You can never avoid them, and I would like to make that so clear. So many, you can never avoid them immediately after divorce. Again, don't call yourself a failure if you come up against a man who is quite cruel, ultimately, who after he, quote, scores, drops you. Don't think there's anything wrong with you. It's just part of the reentry game. It's part of getting back into this. You cannot avoid them. Eventually, you develop a gut, and you can avoid them.
I believe you mentioned in your book one way to recognize them is if they ask you a lot about your ex-husband and then start downgrading the ex-husband.
Yes, that very a lot of men, when divorce is the turn-on, because they want to hear all the details about your divorce, and then they start moving from the money into the bedroom.
Could this book be used as a primer for a professional manipulator?
I suppose if you look at it on the other way, on the other side of the coin, it could be. But I really am trying to warn women that they're vulnerable, and we're all alike, and we're going to be trapped by the manipulators. And what we should do is, we're fair game, and we ought to turn the tables and get a lot of experience out of it.
Carol, we only have 1 minute left. How can the woman know what type of man she really wants, considering that many of her wants may have been based on negative subconscious needs and attitudes?
Experience. And that's why she shouldn't feel guilty if she sees a lot of men and sleeps with a variety of men. The only way she's going to find out is by trial and error.
Self-love plays a great deal of importance in this too, doesn't it?
Self-love, knowing yourself, making yourself happy first, and then it's communicated to the other person.
Carol, thank you very much. Today's topic was The Reentry Game, a book authored by Carol Sims. It's published by Warner Paperback, and I believe that you can find it at most bookstores available right now. Explorations in Self-Help is a production of KCRW-FM, Santa Monica. My name is John Copps.